Good morning, and I'm glad that you've joined us for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to wrap up this morning a series on challenging New Testament love principles. Love is a word that's used by a lot of people. It's believed by a lot of people. Unfortunately, people do not have the proper concept of love that is portrayed by God in the Bible and that is taught by Him in the Bible. We're trying to get back to biblical love, not the kind of love that people have in their mind today in modern day society. And we've been looking at several challenging New Testament love principles. Not only is it important to find out what love is according to the Bible, but when we do that, we're going to find that there are a number of challenging principles concerning love that must be practiced according to the Word of God. We have lowered the standard of love today. We have broadened its meaning to accept all kinds of sinful things, and we need to get back to true biblical love. So this morning on the program, I'd like to look at a few remaining challenging principles. And as I've mentioned before, the previous programs, all of our previous Let the Bible Speak recordings are on our website, and you can get any of the recordings that have been in the past at wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org. So, what are some challenging New Testament love principles? Well, in addition to the ones that we've already looked at, let me start off this morning by saying that love must be proved. Love is not just something we think or say. When we truly love someone, we need to prove that. We need to show that. So love is shown in deeds, where we actually complete the doing of our love and not just talk about it or think about it or plan about it. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, Paul here is encouraging the Corinthian brethren to get their contribution, their money, their collection ready for the needy saints in Judea. In the New Testament, local churches helped needy saints with funds. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, Paul is going to be coming to Corinth, and this is at the end of his third preaching trip, and he writes just in advance of that trip, and he says, get your contribution ready so that when I come, I can collect that and pick that up and take it to the needy saints in Judea. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, Paul writes, I speak not by way of commandment, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity also of your love. Look at this. The proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity also of your love. And then down in verse 24, show you therefore unto them in the face of the churches the proof of your love and of the glorying on your behalf. Show the proof of your love. And that's what we need to do. When we say that we love someone, family, friends, complete strangers, those in the church, other people, anybody, we need to prove that. Jesus loved the world enough to die on the cross, but he proved that by dying on the cross. You've got to prove your love. You've got to show that. Don't leave it just in the realm of words, but show that. And so they were to show the proof of their love. And we need to do the same thing today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Here's another love principle. And that is that love is a part of a working faith. Love is a part of a working faith. Paul writes in Galatians 5, 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Some were trying to bind circumcision in the Old Testament law as a condition for salvation, so that's why he brings up circumcision here. It's not a condition for salvation, but faith working through love. A couple of things here. First of all, faith works. There's so many people today that say that faith does not work. Faith works. Faith is obedient. It doesn't do man's works, but it does the works of God. And faith works. It's active and it's obedient. And James talks about that in James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. So notice that faith is working. But Paul says faith working through love. And so it's not just working without any love, it's faith working through love. Love is motivating everything. Love is driving everything. Love is the driving force, the foundational principle through which the faith is working. It's not just simply carrying out the commandments in some rote or ritual kind of way, going through the motions blindly, aimlessly, mindlessly, going through the things that God wants you to do, but faith working through love. We love what we're doing. We love God and we love Jesus and we love the things that He wants us to be working in our faith. And so our heart is in it. In other words, we're not just simply going through the motions, but our heart is in it. So faith is working, and it's working through love. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul writes, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible." And so notice that it is faith with love and love with faith. Notice how they are combined together. Friends, we must have a faith that works. We must have a faith that is obedient to God's word and will, and it's combined with love. We're doing it because we truly love the Lord and not for some other motive or some other reason. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, "But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." We've got to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Notice how a breastplate in the Roman soldier's armor was a protection for the heart and the lungs and the internal organs. And faith and love protect us spiritually speaking, but they go together. And so the key thought here is an obedient faith that is motivated by love. It's not just simply going through the motions. People who do things simply because they're checking off some boxes each week, I have found that often they will fall away from the Lord because it's not undergirded with love for the Lord. Here's another important principle that is found, and while we just looked at Ephesians, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 15, this is an important, challenging New Testament love principle. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 15, "For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you." And he had been talking about that, and notice how he says, faith, or love, excuse me, love which you have toward all the saints. Well, what kind of love is that? Well, back up to verse 5. Paul writes, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then just prior to that, Paul writes that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Notice that. Holy and without blemish in love. So, love goes with holiness. Love must be a part of holiness. That's the kind of love that we show toward all the saints. And this is a very big principle that is not being observed today. Today, people say, well, I'm in love with this person, but it's an unholy relationship. Homosexuality is not a holy relationship. It's an unholy relationship. And adultery is not a holy relationship. It's an unholy relationship. And fornication, which is any sexual activity outside of a godly marriage, that is unholy. It's not holy. But in all three of those things, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, people say, well, I'm in love with someone. No. Paul says that we are to be holy and without blemish before him in love. It reminds me of the principle that we talked about in a previous episode of the Let the Bible Speak program, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love has its limits. Love will not engage in evil or unrighteousness. And Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and verse 4 that love must be combined with holiness and being without blemish. That is so important for us today. Love gets connected to lying. No, that's unholy. Love gets connected to stealing. No, that's unholy. Love gets connected to all kinds of sexual sins. That's unholy. So we've got to remember that when we talk about how that I'm loving someone, that also must be a holy relationship. Friends, is that the way it is with you? Is that the way it is with me? We've got to turn to the Word of God to find out what is holy and what is unholy. Not society, not what we're taught at school, not what we're taught at the university level, not what we read online, not what we get on our phone, not in social media, but God's Word determines what is holy and what is unholy. Make sure that your love is always and only connected with holiness. Here's another important, challenging New Testament love principle, and that is that love always speaks the truth. Love always speaks the truth. In this same book of Ephesians, Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Here's another passage that is so different from our culture today. Our culture says, well, if I love someone, I won't tell them the truth. If I love someone, I'll tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. If I love someone, I will lie to them. If I love someone, I'll bend the truth. If I love someone, I'll let them down easy and not let them know what the truth is. If I love someone, I'll let them believe what they want to believe just so that they'll feel good about themselves. No, friends, love speaks the truth, speaking the truth in love. And the truth, John 17:17, is the Word of God that is contained in Scripture. Jesus is the truth, John 14, verse 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of many truths. We hear that today in our postmodern world. There are many truths. You find your truth, I'll find my truth. Everybody has their own truth. No, there is one objective, singular truth, singular body of truth. It's contained for us today in the New Testament Scriptures. And so, when we speak, we need to speak the truth in love. When you say, well, I really love someone, make sure you're telling them the truth, not something else. We find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Not only does love speak the truth, but we need to love the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23:23. We need to speak the truth. We need to be walking in truth. That's our daily living. If you turn to 2 John verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also they that know the truth, for the truth's sake which abides in us, and it shall be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace shall be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of thy children walking in truth. So notice this. You can love in truth. Number two, you can know the truth. We hear today, well, you can't really know what's right and wrong. No, you can know the truth. You can know your Bible. Number three, the truth can abide in you and me. It can be in us. The words of truth can be in us. And again, truth and love, and then we can walk in truth. We can apply it in our daily lives. And then 3 John verse 1, again, the elder unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. So notice, friends, that love goes together with truth. It's what we tell people. It's how we live in our lives. So always, always, always speak the truth to those whom you love. It may hurt. It may make somebody upset. It may bother someone. It may be rejected. You might lose a friendship over it, but it's what they need to hear in order to be saved in the end. So speak the truth in love. Let's look at a few more challenging New Testament love principles. Another one is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, if you want to turn with me there. The writer of Hebrews is discussing some final duties of the Christian, social and religious and various aspects of his or her life. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, we read, "Let love of the brethren continue. Forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." We need to love our brethren, but verse 2 says we also need to show love unto strangers. We love our brethren, Christians, fellow brethren, but we also love those who are not, who might be strangers to us, non-family members, someone who's not a close neighbor. This is the random person that we meet when we're out and about in town that needs some help. This is the random person that comes by the church building. This is the random person that we meet when we have an opportunity to talk with someone. Love is not to be confined, in other words, to just close people that we really like. And so this is talking about hospitality and helping others, and it's to be toward those who are outside our close circle. And this is a challenging love principle, because we might rationalize, I don't really know them. Are they going to hurt me? Is there going to be some negative consequence to this? Are they going to waste my money? Are they going to use it in a bad way? And we rationalize and we go through those kinds of things and we cease being what would normally be the Good Samaritan. We have an opportunity to be a Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan in Luke 19 walked up on someone that he didn't know and he helped him. The priest and the Levite walked by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan showed compassion. And so forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. This may be a reference back to Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham and Sarah were hospitable to those who came and visited them. So, what about that very thing in our own lives today? Let's make sure that we're broadening our love to include those who that we really don't know, but we need to be nice to. We need more of that in our society today. We need more Good Samaritans. We need more people who will reach out and help the helpless and do what we can to lift them up. Here's another challenging New Testament principle, and that is that we need to love not the world. There are things that we do not need to love, and that's another principle that is lost today. Many people are not loving the things that they need to love, and they are loving the things that they shouldn't love. It's all turned around backwards. And so we've got to be reading our Bibles to understand who and what we need to love and who and what we need to stay away from. Here's a few examples. Even in the first century, we find things like this. John 3:19. Men loved the darkness. Men loved the darkness rather than the light. Darkness is a figure here for sin and error and all that's wrong. Turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 43. Some people love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. They applaud themselves, but they won't turn and serve God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches. Some people are in love with idols and money and other kinds of things like that. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Demas loved this present age or world. We're not told the details of what he was in love with, but it was things enough to pull him away from helping the Apostle Paul and serving Christ, having loved this present world. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, be free from the love of money. That is so popular today. It keeps people away from obeying Christ. It's all about the almighty dollar. In 3 John verse 9, a man named Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence or the first place in the local church. Christ wasn't first. He wanted to be first. And so some people love to have the preeminence. And so my point, friends, is people are loving the wrong kinds of things. And so it's really sad, and yet we find that very thing. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15, those who do not make it into heaven, without are the dogs. This is a figure of ungodly people and maybe even more specifically those who are engaged in sexual prostitution or temple prostitution. Without are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loves and makes a lie. So there's people that love lying, and that goes on all the time today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul is talking about grievous times. Men shall be lovers of self and lovers of money, boastful and haughty and so forth. No lovers of good. So they're loving the wrong things, and they're failing to love the good things. So friends, and then of course, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he talks about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We do not need to be loving the world or loving the wrong things. Here's another principle that is very important. And we've talked about it some already in previous studies in different ways, but we need to love in deed, not in word only. We talked about this earlier on the program about proving our love. We don't just need to say things. We don't need to think things. The challenge is to get up and actually do it. Anybody can talk about loving someone, but get up and show it in some way. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be a small act of love or kindness, but show it. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, John talks about this very kind of thing. And in verse 18, he writes, "Little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth." And then later, in chapter 4 and verse 21, "This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God, love his brother also." So, reach out and show your love in deeds, both to God and to your fellow brethren. Get up and show it. It's a challenge, but that's true biblical love. And then last of all, one last challenging New Testament principle comes from Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. These New Testament Christians that were living toward the end of the first century, they were greatly persecuted by the Roman government for following Jesus Christ, and some of them were even killed for the cause of Christ. And John writes about those who are going to be in heaven, Revelation 12, 11, "And they overcame him," who? The devil, the accuser. "They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb." They were saved by the blood of Jesus in baptism. "And because of the word of their testimony," they were faithful, "and they loved not their life even unto death." Friends, love for Christ comes first, even over self. They would not love their own lives, but they sacrificed it even to the point of death. They loved not their own life even unto death. They were willing to put Christ first. And I would hope that that would never come to it in our nation, but if it was to come to something like that, we would need to be willing to do that. Friends, there are many challenging New Testament principles. We've been looking at those things today and over the past few weeks. Let's get back to a biblical picture of love in our life. That's the love that is pleasing to God. It reflects the kind of love that he showed toward us and the kind of love he wants in our life. If I can help you to do that in your life, let's get together and let's study. I appreciate you joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.